mentioning first our Catholic school and what a gift it is to so many, including to me. And I've been here 8 years now, and eighth graders, right? Were you here in first grade?
Yes.
Were you here in first grade? I thought so. You came later. Well, you still count. Okay. No, first, you guys grew up? You know, it's been fun for me watching the students from being little children grow up. I also remember many of the eighth graders who were here when I came, and now most of them are graduating from college. And in fact, in Catholic schools, one of the positive things can be so many go on to the university or go on to other jobs. In fact, there's a lot of leaders here in our community that are wonderful leaders, and part of that is some of their upbringing in a Catholic school. Certainly, all schools are valuable. Teachers everywhere mean so much. But recognizing that in our school, we can teach those values, we can talk about Jesus, we can build a sense of community with one another. How positive a blessing that is. And I'm grateful, again, being here with a school like this that does add so much to the parish and reminds us that the school is part of the parish and that we're there with and for each other. Now I want to jump into the rest of my homily. It'll be over in about 35 minutes. And some others say, you know, he may not be kidding. Anyway, quick show of hands. How many people here, showing at one time or another, ever went to a Catholic school? Whoa. Okay, how many ever went to this Catholic school? You get extra credit, okay? Okay, tell God on the way. Anyway, you know, when we think of Catholic school, understandably, that's what we think of, the parish school that we have here, the many Catholic schools around the country. There's another way to understand what it means to be a Catholic school, in which everybody here would raise your hand and say, yep, I've been part of a Catholic school. We probably don't always think about it this way, but it's significant. The very first Catholic school is the family. The family. And that's, isn't that where parents teach their children and teach their children how to walk and talk? Teach their children about a God that's their Father and loves them, a Jesus who wants to be their friend and be with them always, a Holy Spirit that will guide them through life, teaches them how to be unselfish, how to be kind, how to be forgiving, all those qualities. Family life is the first Catholic school. And it's probably in some way, hopefully for us, the best. Do we do it perfectly? No. But there again, we believe in a Jesus who says, nobody does it perfectly. Just do your best, love one another, and keep going. And I've seen that in this parish, as I've seen in many parishes and in the wider community and other churches. Family matters when family sees yes. The greatest thing we can give our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren is a faith in a loving God, is a faith that can give them direction and hope and peace and inner strength and joy. Wouldn't we want that in family life? And in addition to looking at family life, which is fundamental, there's another sense in which we look to this community, this parish community. As I mentioned earlier, the school is part of a parish, and we are in some way family. Even if we don't know each other, we can pray for and with each other. And we know community is absolutely vital in our world today. That's another gift we can receive from a parish that also has a school. Because you've probably seen last April, the Surgeon General of the United States spoke about the pandemic. One of the biggest ones now is loneliness. And they mentioned how there can be people lonely, young people just as they're growing up, and people who are older and who maybe need somebody to care, just as I know even some of the students have done here, things for our people who are shut in and who have been ill. And when we look at that, community is its essence. Here and with the school. So, for example, in the Catholic tradition, we're emphasizing today Eucharistic revival, to have a richer, deeper understanding of Eucharist, which is the whole worship experience. We don't always think about this, but as soon as we gather in song and come here, We are already experiencing the real presence of Jesus Christ through one another. Because it's Jesus who said, where two or more are gathered, there am I in your midst. So whether it's at the school, whether we're here like on these days, yes, the Lord is present in the community that we are with and for one another. The Lord obviously wants to speak to each of us personally, calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. And the Lord, here and around the world, wants to recognize He calls us to come together. Our God created us for community. When it said in Genesis, it's not good for a human being to be alone, need helpmates, we need each other. It's how God designed us. And too often we live in a world today that can be isolated, or too often some of our being together in community can be divisive, can be negative, can be looking down at one another, us versus them. The Lord especially calls us as followers of Jesus to live it the way He showed us, the way He exemplified. Do we do it perfectly? No. But we keep on loving and growing through a lifetime. So it's good. Real presence here among us. Do we think about that even individual? That other person in my family, that other person in the pew, maybe I don't know him. But Christ is there. And the recognition that it's not just that we land here the same day every Sunday, but that we're here together because the Lord wants us to be converted not only as individuals, but as communities. Communities that give witness to the Lord of the love, the goodness, the justice, the peace that God wants us to show. And in fact, when we do that in terms of Mass, one of the things that happens at the end is the priest or the deacon will say, go in peace and to love and serve the Lord. And basically saying to us individually and together, okay, we're here, but we're here in order ultimately to go out there. To be Christ's presence, to make that difference with the core values we believe in, to do it individually and to do it as a community, as we're doing with the number of outreaches in our neighborhood these days. Also, if we want to talk about school, we come here each week to listen to the master teacher, Jesus Christ, to recognize He's the one we need to hear. And even in that response, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. We need to hear this master teacher because too often we're hearing things in the culture, in all kinds of spheres that are negative, that are putting down, that are hateful. The master calls us to love one another, to forgive one another, to go the extra mile with one another, at times to challenge each other, but to do it out of love. And so the master teacher here in the gospel, we hear more from him. Because notice, this is at the very beginning of Mark's gospel when Jesus is first reaching out to the community and he talks in the synagogue. And this too, when he does that, it's interesting to note, a lot of people don't realize this, Jesus Christ is not a priest. He was not one of the religious leaders, a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Jesus Christ was a layperson in his community. And as a layperson, just as you young guys came up here, he read the word. And of course, what we pick up in that gospel today is that he read the word and he spoke and people were amazed and astonished. Because what did they say? He didn't speak like the regular religious leaders. He spoke with authority. Why? Because he walked the talk. He lived it. They saw he was the real deal. He was authentic. That's that inner authority. Yes, this is someone we want to listen to, us too, because he shows us what's it all about. He exemplifies it by his very life, ultimately giving his life fully on the cross. Our master teacher. And with all those different voices we do hear every day and everywhere, we need to come back, especially on Sunday, but throughout the week. Lord, master teacher, what do I need to hear? And I know sometimes it's difficult when we hear, oh, I don't understand this gospel. But even if we can get one point, one idea, one situation that we say, okay, Lord, let me take that one idea to touch me and to make a difference in who I am out there. And in addition to that real presence, yes, we also speak of real Eucharistic presence of Christ, talking about the emphasis on that and a deeper, richer understanding of it. That for us, it's recognizing, yes, Jesus did something 2,000 years ago at the Last Supper, and we remember that. But at the same time, in our rich understanding, it's not just a memory. We believe that even in the here and now for these 2,000 years, Jesus Christ says, I want you to remember me, but I want you to know I want to be a part of you. I want to be within you. I want to nourish you. That's what real presence of Christ in Eucharist is all about. That's saying, hey, I want to be your deepest spiritual nourishment. I want to be that presence in you that's a part of you, that I'm not some distant presence far away, but I'm here and I'm with you and I will be always. So recognizing that whole sense of the Eucharist is very important. And another area where we do this, and you know, it's a ritual, but it's meant to be more than that, is when we give the sign of peace at the service. The sign of peace is meant to remind us it comes right before we're going to go to communion, because it emphasizes if we're going to be really in communion with the living God, we need to be in communion with one another. We need to make peace with each other. We need to forgive each other. We need to see this is what Jesus calls us to be experiencing his peace so much that we can't help but share it with others, knowing how important it is. And as we look at all of this, I just want to use one example. When I was doing a parish mission at a suburb in the Cleveland area this last Lent, and I often at those missions will ask, hey, why'd you come? You know, it's a mission, 3 nights, you know, you went out of your way, why? And different people will answer. And I remember this one fellow in particular, he basically said, Father, I need to be here. You know, this is important, I need to grow in faith. And again, I asked the fundamental question, well, why? Why is that important to you right now? And he shared some of his story. Basically, that he had a son who was a teenager, probably around 14, these kids' ages, and was being prepared for confirmation. But his son told his dad, I don't want to be confirmed. I don't know if I believe all this stuff. I don't think I'm ready yet. You know, and the father said, he told us, no, you're getting confirmed. This is a commitment you're making now. This is a commitment that should make a difference in the rest of your life. You're getting confirmed. That's important. The son, now the father's telling on, the son said, well, Dad, you say it's important. We don't go to church as a family. We haven't gone maybe a couple times a year. We never pray at home. We never talk about core values of how we're going to live. You got confirmed. Look, so why are you putting this back on me? Because we don't do it. And wow, isn't it true? It's not just what I say and what I do that people pick up on. And so this father, he said initially he was pretty defensive. He felt like smacking his son, you know, talking to me like that. I'm your father. But it didn't take long for him to step back and know his son was right. Wow. He wasn't walking the talk. His son was telling him something that was challenging that he needed to hear, because he knew there was a truth behind it. And he knew if he was going to be one of the greatest any of us as parents can be for kids or grandkids is to exemplify what we say we believe by what we do and how we show it. So the good thing for him, he was at that retreat because a couple months earlier, that's what his son said to him. That turned him around. Talk about hearing the voice speak. That turned him around. He started taking his family back to church, and not just back to church because, well, you're supposed to go or you got to go through the motions. No, back to church because he realized, yeah, Jesus Christ and God, God's Spirit that at one time touched his life that he had lost. Now it hit him again. He came back in a very positive way, his son going to, and in a way, the whole family was being confirmed day by day by finally deepening in that faith that made a real difference that they then shared in daily life. So for every one of us, we can take that look. Every one of us, where do we need to be better? One, at living our faith, demonstrating that faith by how we treat each other and bringing a little more love and goodness into the world, which is what Jesus wants us to do. Take a quiet moment and see if there's even one thing in what you heard or what you're hearing now that the Lord, our master teacher, may be saying, listen to that. You need to hear that. Not because I'm trying to put you down, the Lord's saying, but I want to guide you and help others to live a hopeful, joyful, wonderful, compassionate life. Quiet moment. See what even little thing you might hear. God bless you.